to us, though, new figures from Victoria Police show that drivers under the influence of illicit drugs are just as dangerous as drivers affected by alcohol. It's not just Victoria, though. Incidents of drug driving have gone up nationwide. In response, there have been a marked increase in the number of drivers stopped for random drug tests by traffic police. Jimmy Singh is a senior managing lawyer at Sydney Criminal Lawyers and specialises in traffic-related offences. Everyone must want to know you. Jimmy, welcome to RN Breakfast.
G'day, Hamish. Thank you, mate. Thanks for having me.
Just talk us through drug driving and the way it is tested. How do they do it?
Well, basically, mate, the procedure is that much like a random breath test, police actually have the power to stop you when you're driving your vehicle and require you to submit to an oral fluid test. If that test comes back as positive, police can actually arrest you, require you to submit to a fluid analysis or even a blood sample. Now, what happens then, mate, is that sample's taken back to the drug laboratory. And if that comes back as you having an illicit drug in your system, then the police will issue you with what's called a court attendance notice. And that instigates the whole court proceedings. But at the time when the police officer gives you that, or requires you to undergo that sample at the roadside, they can also, if it returns a positive reading, give you a 24-hour suspension at the time. Yes, that's basically the procedure. And the interesting thing, Hamish, is there's two types of these offences. One is the Section 111 offence under the Road Transport Act, which prohibits drivers from having an illicit drug in their system. That doesn't carry a term of imprisonment. But then there's a Section 112 offence, which does carry a term of imprisonment, but that prohibits drivers from being under the influence of illicit drugs at the time of driving. And that's much more difficult to prove. So police generally charge motorists with the first offence, which is the 111 offence.
So when are police actually conducting these tests? Is it done in tandem with a drink driving RBT station, or is it a separate thing that they're setting up? I've actually never seen a drug driving test on roads in Australia.
Yeah, it's not too different from a breath analysis. A breath test, except they use a different device. I would probably say that it's more intrusive than giving a breath breath test and then the breath analysis at the police station.
But as far as you know, are police doing it at the same time? You know, are they pulling people over for a drink driving test and then giving them an additional test at the same time? Or are they setting up specific drug driving test spots?
They do. They are at the moment, mate. They first require you to do the test, which is at the roadside, and then if that brings a positive reading, they usually have a bus stationed nearby, and they get you to, they take you over there. They arrest you, they take you there, and they do the analysis for the test. And if that comes back as an illicit substance in your system from the drug laboratory, then they issue you a court attendance notice.
I'd like to ask you a question about this data that's showing a marked increase in the number of people being caught drug driving, but also the fact that there's an increase in the number of drivers being stopped for the test itself. I mean, is that the reason why we know that there is more drug driving, or how have these figures been produced?
Well, there's been some research done on it. I mean, recently during the Easter period, the police conducted an operation, and so remarkably showed that one in six drivers were actually had an illicit drug in their system. That's caused an alarm in society in the New South Wales Police Force as well.
Compared with alcohol, what is the impact on people's driving ability if they're under the influence of illicit drugs? I imagine, depending on the drug, it would be a different impact.
Yeah, it certainly is a different impact depending on the drug, but you've got to also keep in mind that depending on the drug, drugs stay in your saliva, for example, for a shorter period of time than in your blood or your urine. Now, cannabis, for example, can take days or weeks to disappear long after the effects of it's actually worn out. And this is where there becomes a bit of unfairness, because under the current legislation, Hamish, the offence to drive, even if small traces of drugs are in your system, it's still an offence to be driving, even when you're not actually affected by the drug or the substance, because it's been worn out.
How long after someone had taken an illicit substance could they still be found to have it in their system and thereby be breaking the law?
Yes, that's exactly the way the current legislation is, particularly the Section 111 of under the Drug Transport Act.
But can you give me the time frame? I mean, how long could it stay in someone's system for?
Oh, for example, well, it depends on the drug. So cannabis, for example, can take days or weeks until it disappears. And the interesting thing is, at the time of driving your vehicle, you're not affected. You're not actually affected by the illicit substance, but it's just simply the fact that it's in your system at the time that creates the offence. I'll give you an example. UK laws, for example, allow for the presence of small levels of common drugs, and I think maybe we should start shifting along that path as well here, because what we need to be concerned with is the safety of other road users. So if you're under the influence and you're affected by it, as distinct from the fact that you have it in your system but not affected by it, I think that issue needs to be addressed.
Jimmy Singh, thanks very much for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me, Hamish.
Jimmy Singh is a senior managing lawyer at Sydney Criminal Lawyers.